Okay, today is the conference call for the courtroom observers for June 21st, 2017. If anybody has anything to report, the mic is open. We'd like to hear from you.
This is Terry in Colorado.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I had a friend who called up who is in the NLA, and he's been listening to Bill Thornton a lot, and he had a court hearing today. It would have turned into a trial later in the day when they brought the jury in, but they didn't have the officers there to testify, and so he agreed to a continuance. Well, his wife and him have been looking at this stuff, and his wife said, you should have insisted upon a trial. And so now they got the trial moved out to a continuance on the 16th of August. And so I'm wondering how everybody feels. This is my first court observer that I did for the NLA. It's not the first one I did for the NLA, but officially. And it was very interesting to see it all happen. And the feeling of the wife was that if you had called for a trial, they don't have any witnesses there. They would have had to take the affidavits that the two officers had made, and he already had a strategy that he had written down and tried to leverage into a common law court to dispel those affidavits because they didn't agree. And so I'd like to get an idea of did he make a mistake? And he's going to try and harden up his case between now and then and let the court default and walk in with that defaulted paperwork and say, no, you don't have any jurisdiction anymore. So I'll just that's what I saw. It was interesting. And I'd like to hear anybody who has an opinion. Thank you.
That's really not something that we need to be getting into on this call.
Okay, then take it as a report. That's what I observed.
Okay. Did you take notes during that hearing?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Very good. That's what is needed. It's not, you know, we're not lawyers. And so it's not, we should not be commenting on what the law really is on that, or what he should have done or shouldn't have done. But I'm happy that you were there and were able to give that report. Terry, have you heard anything from Laura?
I haven't heard a peep.
From Lori?
Laura.
No, I don't know who Laura is.
She used to host this call.
She's the ghost.
Oh, okay.
Host.
No, I have not heard anything.
Okay.
So
Laura Legere.
It's been close to 2 months now, right?
I think
that
so.
She's probably about that. Yeah.
Well, do you have an actual plan for this call, Terry?
I had no plan. You know, Laura really didn't, you know, leave any instruction for me. All I was told is that she wanted me to host a call because I was usually on it on Wednesdays, and she wanted somebody that she could depend on, you know, to host it and to send out the courtroom notices. But that's about it. I mean, you know, I'm all ears if anybody's got any suggestions, but, you know, nobody ever gave me any kind of instructions.
You know, I've been trying to, you know, give instructions on what this call needs to cover, but maybe I've not been clear enough, because it certainly is not getting through. You know, we need to ensure that the courtroom observers know how to be the most effective they can be. Now, today our courtroom observer was there, listened to what was being said, took notes, and this is wonderful. This is what needed to be done. From those notes, if needed, an affidavit can be made up on behalf of the defendant. Now, we always need to talk about people looking professional when they go into the courtroom as observers and have a clipboard with tablet. And hopefully the courtroom observers wear an ID badge. They should say at the top, courtroom observer. Should be a picture in the center of the courtroom observer. And at the bottom it should say National Liberty Alliance. And always need to write down all the information, you know, what the court is, address of the court, telephone number of the court, name of the judge, name of the prosecutor, any witnesses there might be, you know, all the information of what's going on. And just the facts of what's happening. It should be if the judge says or does something unconstitutional, that should be listed. Now, this is where having a working knowledge of the Constitution needs to be, you know, everyone should have a working knowledge of the Constitution. I don't care what they're doing in life. Everyone needs to have a working knowledge of it. And having a working knowledge then gives you the knowledge to know when the court is doing something unconstitutional, gives you the ability to catch their mistakes or probably what they're doing on purpose. And so these are things that we need to be talking about on the call, is to ensure that everyone has the knowledge needed for being an effective courtroom observer. And I think probably there should be discussions during the call, maybe about the Constitution, maybe about a dress code type of thing. Basically, a dress code is looking nice, looking professional, not initiating contact with anybody in the court unless they initiate it, and then just answer them with short answers. Don't get into a long, involved conversation with the prosecutor or the judge or anyone. Just short answers to answer their questions. The looking nice, carrying the clipboard, having the badge, obviously writing notes, is designed to intimidate the judge and the prosecutor. And it does. Because most courts are corrupt. Most judges and prosecutors are corrupt. And when they see somebody taking notes and they have an official-looking badge on, they get very concerned that they're going to get themselves in trouble. And very often, they will dismiss the charges. And, you know, just to get you out of there. So that makes you effective in helping the client who is the defendant. For men, should always wear a button-up shirt with tie, preferably with a suit, but not everyone can do that. So at least clothes that look nice as you can look. But for sure, a button-up shirt with tie. Now, I won't say it's mandatory, but that's the best option. And I'm sure that as we go along, as we talk about these things, there are going to be questions. And so we need to be able to answer those questions. And so therefore, the chair needs to have some knowledge of the Constitution. And I would hope that the chairs do have that knowledge. If not, then it gives you something to work on in between calls. Are there any comments or questions or anything anybody has? Now we are a very small group, but we should be a very large group because we should have courtroom observers in all 50 states, and they should be calling in every week. I'm striving to have 100-plus people on every call. Right now we have 12 listed.
Many apologies, but Trump was giving a speech and he just ended 10 minutes ago. So now you got 13 on board, sir.
I'm still only seeing 12. Was it an interesting speech?
You can go to the right side website and catch the streaming video.
Ah.
I always try to do that because all these other YouTube facilities, they seem to come in and go, and sometimes you want to hear something and it's cut out. But yes, it was good.
All right. Well, anyway, I know that in the past on this call, people have been discussing cases, and whenever people discuss cases, they're getting into possible legal stuff. And this is where, if we're not careful, we could get into some trouble. And that's why I'm not allowing us to discuss personal cases on the call.
I understand
because
exactly
we,
what you
yeah.
You're
well, it's
you're talking about practicing law without a license, and you're
right.
Talking about exposing key factors in your case that could tip off the enemy about a plan or about some crucial information, and then they can circumvent it and not even allow the testimony.
Right.
I get
right
it.
On the money.
We're looking at a bunch of thieves and liars.
And there's a lot of them.
The quicker we can take them down, the better.
Well, hopefully,
I'll tell you one thing.
Successful.
I'll tell you one thing. The meeting on Monday, I asked Brent Winters if he would take a look at the judge's response to NLA's paperwork. And I was kind of upset because where is the procedure for redress of grievance for our government? How can we hold these people accountable to the Constitution? They swear an oath to obey. Where's the line? At what point, you know, do we say, hey, you know, it's time to get the axe out and chop off some of this overextended growth?
Well, now we have a bunch of patriots out here in the West that are sitting in prison awaiting trials and hearings, and they've not been convicted of anything. They're not being allowed bail or any of that. And they were asking for a redress of grievances, what got them into the prison, what got them put away. So we have problems when it comes to the redress of grievance. The government just throws you in prison for for even asking, is what it boils down to. So we have a lot of work ahead of us.
It's worse than that. Congress passing special sweetheart deals to create 300 mining companies. Hillary Clinton and the very judge that's overseeing this case are named. They're benefiting from those companies that are stealing land. Remember the miners that lost their gold mine? The federal government coming in and claiming all that property, and under the National Monuments Act, they were going to do a land grab across America.
Well,
and
that's,
Hillary,
that's That's what they were doing.
Hillary Clinton made a deal with the Russians for 20% of our uranium.
Yeah, well, that is about the end. That's about to be taken care of. However, these are things where it's very important for us to have the courtroom observers, because we have now, just as that little bit of a conversation brought out, we need to do everything possible to take back our courts. And this is another reason why it's very important to have courtroom observers taking notes and reporting on the wrongdoing in the courts. It's also why it's so important for everyone to have some knowledge of the Constitution so they fully recognize what the courts are doing unconstitutionally. Because if you don't have at least a working knowledge of the Constitution, you're going to miss many of the things that happen in court that are unconstitutional. And so that's the thing on this call. We need to discuss the Constitution. We need to discuss all these things and make sure we're up to par and doing the most effective job we can as a courtroom observer. And we need to bring more people in to the courtroom observer call so that everyone gets the word, so that it spreads a little more.
May I make a suggestion?
Yes.
I believe that every courtroom observer group throughout America and whatever courtroom they're in, what they need to do is do a FOIA request for the grand jury instructions issued by whoever issues them and challenge them that they violate the Constitution and the grand jury is not under the control of the courts.
Well, I agree with that.
And that's something that can be done all across America right now.
Well, it'd even be good to make that request just to ensure that a grand jury was held.
Not only that, by providing the information that we have already and presenting that to the grand jury for their review and investigation, it unlocks all of this crap.
Well, the thing is, with the grand jury as it is right now, the jury is controlled by, well,
the jury is controlled by what the judge will allow.
Well, it's immediately controlled by the attorney general, the prosecutors, and the judge, of course, gets there, and they don't give any information that they don't want the jury to have. And so it does us no good to give information that's going to make them look bad or corrupt or anything, because the jury's not going to get it.
In the common law,
we need to get a jury foreman
can take over that court and kick the judge out of the courtroom.
That's right.
And that's what they need to know. These juries need to understand their power. And they've got to take these black cape bastards and put them back in their coffin with a stake through their hearts.
Well, right now, nobody knows what a common law grand jury is supposed to be out there. You know, most of the people that are on the grand juries are... They think that what they're doing, taking their orders from the attorney general or whoever, prosecution, that they don't know what's right.
I agree. It's
so,
because they don't know
this is,
the law.
Yes, this is why we must continue with what we're doing with the NLA so that we take back the grand juries in the courtroom, so that we have the common law grand juries in place. Only then will people get fairness. But until we succeed, we have to keep gathering all the evidence we can. And this is where courtroom observers are important also. They're the ones that are out there gathering what's going on in the courtrooms. We need all that information. We need stacks of it.
I agree that the courtroom observers are very important because of the cases that are going on right now that we have introduced into the NLA.
Yes.
Those cases, we need courtroom observers in to follow the progress.
And we need them to be knowledgeable on what they're looking for.
The real problem is the Congress has set up and the states have set up all of these courts that are so far astray of anything that the forefathers wanted to set up that we're going to have to Roto-Rooter the whole system.
Yes.
And they're well entrenched and they're used to living on the theft of the American taxpayer.
Well, I go so far as to say that probably the majority of judges out there do not know how to be judges under common law. They've never been. And so many of them are maybe actually thinking they're doing the job properly because it's the way they were taught, but they're not.
Well, the same thing with the sheriffs.
Absolutely.
That's why I brought up a couple points. One was I heard a constable has the right to carry concealed across America. Did you hear that one?
Well, I heard when you brought it up.
Yeah.
But I'd not given that any thought before.
Also a courier.
Well, a courier, yeah, I can see where that they would need to. I never gave the thought to the constable having that kind of authority. I don't know, but I never thought about that. I mean, I know the sheriff and the marshals have equal power for the most part. However, the sheriff comes out on top over the marshals because the sheriff is elected by the people, where the marshals are appointed by the president. And, of course, anybody that's elected by the people is going to have an upper hand over anybody that's selected by anybody in the government.
Right. It takes someone to recall that individual and hold a new election.
Right. So
he doesn't serve at the pleasure of anybody except the people.
Yep. That's right.
The sheriff
now
be
I've
the most powerful position in America if the truth were known.
But see, the states have passed statutes that usurp the people's power.
Well, let's get something straight right now.
Yeah. So we need to be standing.
The problem
the
is, the states are like Burger King. They have incorporated. And here's the real problem. I don't work for Burger King. And these people that are strutting around in some kind of official capacity, you know, they can tell somebody to flip burgers, but I can tell them to flip their own burgers, and I owe nothing to them.
Yep.
That is the crux of the situation. All of these corporate entities, like municipal corporations and the state of incorporated and the city of incorporated and the county of incorporated, are all corporations.
Exactly.
All we need to do to these people is there is a process. It's called the Alter Veres Doctrine, where you point out that these corporations are doing a reach. They're going into criminal prosecution, and they have no constitutional standing to do so. Now, the U.S. Coast Guard made a statement. They said Mount Hamilton was 200 feet underwater. Now, I understand that that was some kind of an observation to bring in Admiralty law. Also, the Apollo mission, they looked back on the world and they said, aha, the world's afloat in a sea of space, sea of space. In other words, admiralty for the whole world.
Well, they'll say a lot of things to make it sound like they have authority.
But anything in law that is pronounced, you have so many days or so much time to refute it, or it stands. Unrefuted, it stands. We have to refute it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the common law is common sense. It's God's law.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right. Now,
and to challenge that Mount Hamilton is not underwater and the Coast Guard does not have a submarine, so that, you know, only the Navy does.
Now, the, you know, we are not supposed to be bound by statutes, but until we get the foothold that we need, you know, we're in a tough spot.
Is it okay if I say something?
The foothold we need is the Alter Veres Doctrine.
Is it okay if I say something tonight?
Go ahead, Crystal.
Okay. Well, going to the court and bringing the people to the court, because when I first started going, we were clueless and didn't understand a lot of things that were going on. And by the cause of the National Liberty Alliance and learning the different terminologies of the words and sitting around and being around unfamiliar surroundings, you know, it started to help us tune in more, you know, because what were we listening to? What were we paying attention to? What were the attorneys and the judges saying? Well, we didn't know it, but every time we came back to the classes, listening and learning the different terminologies, which, can I make a suggestion, we definitely need a vocabulary of the legal words and stuff like that. So this way, it's all starting to click. All right? That was very, very helpful to me. When I went into the courtroom, you see jurists, but there is no jurists there. And the only ones who are talking is the judges and the attorneys. And when I had learned about, am I a public servant of this court? They said, no. Am I said, is this my grand jury? The judge says, no, I'm the grand jury. And that's how I learned about treason. How are you going to be the judge, jury, and, you know, and making the decision? And when I went for my case, I asked for a common law grand jury. And who just asked for that? That Bill Crosby case. You know, a common law grand jury of their peers.
I said, wow. As soon as I heard it, it's like when I listen to different court shows or whatever, it's like everything is beginning to start to make sense. So the more we start using these vocabularies and words and going into the court and having people to bring in their pads, whatever the case is, because learning is fun when you start to understand it. Otherwise, it sounds like a foreign language, you know? And people didn't realize the rights they had. But
well, when our courtroom observers are aware of the wrongdoing of the judges and the courts, because they know the Constitution, then they can put those facts in an affidavit, and then
yeah, but you're not going to know until
more ammunition to fight with.
I understand what you're saying, but you're not going to learn it and know it until you're sitting in there. And so that's why I try to get people, let's go. I bring different ones. Let's go and listen. And everybody's picking up. And then we start to discuss, you know, which is very helpful to each other, you know. But I don't want to overstep, but I'm just saying, because everything, what you're talking about, it's almost foreign to most of us, you know. I mean, I've been listening.
Oh, yes.
And I, you know, so I said it because people will get like, oh, I don't want to be bothered. Or, you know what I'm saying? And we, okay, what happened? What this and that? Get your transcripts, you know? And that's another thing people didn't even realize, because sometimes it's only $10, maybe $20, $30. Those are so vital, getting
well,
the transcripts.
Not only that, but whenever you read any legal papers, you must ensure that you know the meaning of all the words.
Well,
and if you don't, you need to look them up, mm-hmm, so that you totally understand what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they talk in their legalese and write things in legalese, it's designed really to make sure nobody does understand everything. And so you need to build that vocabulary, but make sure that you know whatever
every word means. That's why we are there to help each other, because some people may have difficulty spelling and reading and comprehending. You know what I'm
yes.
saying? So this way, you know, because you've got a lot of people that are dyslexic, including myself. So, but as I said, it's just like I do pay closely attention. If when I'm in doubt, I always check it out. I'll ask the question, you know. It's just like in the legal documents. And when they, with the attorneys, with that MERS, MERS, well, the judges don't want to even handle that no more. And at the last court hearing, he said, are these the MERS cases? And I'm saying, I don't want that. No, I'm not dealing with that. So they know that's a scam, you know? And we asked the judges for their oath and bond, something we learned on this call. The last ones who had oath and bond was in 1991, you
yep.
know? So, I mean, these are the things. So they're just as nervous. And when I filed the right of era, you know, they sent me my paperwork back, which I'm taking it to the federal courthouse, and I'm going to have
yep.
it reopened again. So this is what I'm doing, per se, because it's all beginning to make sense and where my rights are, you know. So.
Well, I agree with what you're doing and keeping it going and fighting. If everybody could fight their cases the way they need to be.
But I don't know whether it's right or wrong, but see, our group here, this is what we do, because there's a whole lot of people going through the same thing. And so I
well,
tell
there
them,
is. And everybody is imprinted with what is right and wrong.
And I think if the more people stay on the same page.
And so if you're doing what feels right, what is right to you, then it probably is right. And so what you're doing is what needs to be done. And more people need to do that. So I do applaud you for what you're doing.
Well, but as I said, we're working as a group. You know, I'm not telling anybody because I'm not an attorney. But, again, for our rights, and then when they say, I can't, you know, or if they put things, can I have a sworn notarized affidavit from you? They don't even want to hear that. You know?
Right.
And I make sure, because we all have a chance to talk, and see, this time they sat there and ran my case right through and said I wasn't there. I said I was there, you know? So it wouldn't be a part of the transcript. So I went and I filed it right after that and brought it down there, you know? So, but as I said, we're all learning and, you know, if everybody starts to even sit there, you know, if we go, you just mentioned, if we get any legal documents, respond to it right away because we're saying we're accepting it. No, we're not accepting it, you know.
But before you respond, make sure you understand what it says by making sure you understand all the words that are used.
Okay, yes.
So that you respond properly.
Okay.
Is there anything more that anybody might want to add? If not, then I'll turn it back over to Terry and we'll just close out tonight's call then.
Okay, let me find a board. Disappear sometimes. Okay. All right. That concludes the Courtroom Observers call for June 21st, 2017. Everybody have a good night.